From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Church, the Pillar and Ground of the Truth, explaining the basic teachings of Paul's first epistle to Timothy. Even in the early days, error was beginning to creep into the churches because of false teachers. Paul wrote to instruct pastors how the church is to be guided and guarded so as to be a good witness for Jesus Christ in an age of apostasy. In the final chapter, Paul exhorted young Timothy to keep that which is committed to your trust. He was speaking of guarding a deposit, which is nothing less than the content of the gospel. Paul expressed that content concisely in chapter 3, verse 16, which sets forth the six fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Here is a message of grace for every sinner. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, as written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Cause to Blush. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. We shall not be ashamed of our faith. Carping critics may assail the scriptures upon which we ground our belief, but every year the Lord will make it more and more clear that in his book there is no error, no excess, and no omission. It is no discredit to be a simple believer. The faith which looks alone to Jesus is a crown of honor on any man's head, and better than a star on his breast. We shall not be ashamed of our hope. It shall be even as the Lord has said. We shall be fed, led, blessed, and rested. Our Lord will come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended. How we shall glory in the Lord who first gave us lively hope, and then gave us that which we had hoped for. We shall not be ashamed of our love. Jesus is to us the altogether lovely, and never, never shall we have to blush because we have yielded our hearts to him. The sight of our glorious well-beloved will justify the most enthusiastic attachment to him. None will blame the martyrs for dying for him. When the enemies of Christ are clothed with everlasting contempt, the lovers of Jesus shall find themselves honored by all holy beings because they chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt.
Jesus, my blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
In verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And so on in chapter 4, 5, and twice in chapter 6. He's speaking about a charge. And he's saying to Timothy, here is the deposit. Something God has deposited with us. And I am charging you to guard that deposit and to keep that deposit. But obviously, if he's going to guard it, first of all, he's got to know exactly what it is. What is the deposit? That's what I mean by saying he must define it. Not on his own authority, saying, this is what I say the gospel is. No, no. But he's got to get to the mind of the Spirit, and we have that in the Word of God. And on that authority, he must define what is the deposit. Now, Paul defines it for us very clearly here in 1 Timothy. He uses certain very telling terms. And I think as you look at these, you'll find he intended them to be, in a way, technical terms. He intended them certainly to be definitive terms. In other words, they are meant to define what is the deposit. Now let me point this out to you. Six times in this epistle, he uses the word doctrine or teaching, as it is, with the definite article. It appears without it, but there are six occasions where he speaks of the doctrine or the teaching. Then on nine occasions he speaks of the faith, again with the definite article. And four times he speaks of the godliness. Now the use of the definite article with the teaching, the faith, and the godliness, I believe to indicate that he's speaking of these terms technically, theologically, as definitions of the deposit. The teaching, what is that? That is the content of this deposit. In other words, Paul says, this gospel is the doctrine. This deposit is the doctrine we are called upon to teach. But what is that? Well, we're left in no doubt. We read in verse 11 of chapter 1 that it's the glorious gospel of the blessed God which is committed to my trust. This that is deposited with me. What is it? It is the glorious gospel of the blessed God. But what is the glorious gospel? What is the wonderful good news that we have got to take to the world? What is it that you can take to all the continents, to all the races, to all the cultures, to all the colors? Whatever men are, wherever men are, there is one glorious gospel of the blessed God. What is it? Well, Paul tells us some things about it. We read in chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy. Or simply, confessedly. There's no way around this. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, what is the mystery of godliness? God was manifested in the flesh. That's the first fundamental of the Christian religion. A man can say he believes Christianity, he believes a lot of things. If he's not right on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, he's right on nothing. What is the truth about the birth of the babe in Bethlehem? The truth is that God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glorious truth of the gospel of the blessed God is that what man couldn't do, God did for him. Man could never reach up to God, so God reached down to man. Man could never work his way from earth to heaven, so God stepped down from heaven to earth. Man could never unite himself to deity. All the notions that man can keep on bettering himself in this life or any other life so that he's ultimately is assimilated into eternal deity is nonsense. Man gets constantly worse, not constantly better. And no matter how good he is, he can never unite himself to deity. But the truth is that deity came and united itself to humanity. Because God was manifested in the flesh. Here's the miracle. God came down into this world. The question asked again and again in the Gospels. I remember preaching a message on this some time back and also on its answer. The question is, who is this? It's the biggest question you can face in some ways. When you look at Jesus Christ, who is this? Some say he's a carpenter from Nazareth. Some say he was just a Jew of 2,000 years ago. Some say he was a great teacher. He was the greatest of teachers. He was the greatest of men. But anybody with a modicum of intelligence or honesty would realize that those answers do not go far enough. Even a man like Napoleon Bonaparte, who was not noted for his godliness. In fact, in his day, he was taken by Christians around the world to be so like the Antichrist as probably to be the Antichrist. So you see, Henry Kissinger had some people who went before him as being identified as Antichrist. Napoleon Bonaparte said, I know men, and I can tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Bonaparte was right. Who is this? Who is this who forgives sin? Who is this who raised the dead? Who is this who went to the cross and the third day rose again from the dead? You go to the tomb of every other religious leader and you find it's occupied with its dust. The Muslims have been searching the world for centuries to try and find the corpse of Jesus Christ. And every so often they say, we have found it. They found it somewhere in the Himalayas. How it ever got there from Palestine, they don't tell us. That's the most recent finding of the corpse of Jesus Christ, they say. But it's a lie. The Jews looked for the corpse. They couldn't find it. The Roman soldiers looked for the corpse. They couldn't find it. Why could they not find it? For the very simple reason in the message of the angel, he is not here, he is risen. Who is this who died, who rose again, according to his own word, who said, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it up again. Who is this who took a bunch of ignorant Galilean fishermen and sent them out into the world and changed the course of the entire history of the world with 12 Galilean fishermen? Who did it? Who is it? This is God manifested in the flesh. That's who it is. It's the first point of Christianity. I want you to understand that today. You know, if you could ever get that, if that light would ever dawn in your soul, you would not remain in unbelief. You would not remain apart from Christ. You would not remain in rebellion against the claims of Christ. Another second. Let that truth but dawn in your heart that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh for my salvation. It'll break your heart and bring you to Christ. God manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. There are two ways of taking that. Some believe that he was vindicated in his own spirit. He was vindicated in himself and all he said and all he did. There's a lot of truth in that. But I personally believe there's a lot of truth. In fact, I believe it's much more to the apostles' thinking that the Holy Spirit set his seal to everything that Jesus Christ did in the resurrection from the dead. Then he was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. You realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the blessed God, is unique in this. It is the only worldwide religion. It is the only worldwide gospel. Historically, it took place among the most despised nation on earth, the Jewish people. But it's not bound in the context of its own history. The history is important. But the gospel is as much to the Greek as to the Jew. You can go to black men, white men, brown men, yellow men. You can go to rich men, poor men, religious men, irreligious men. You can go to every continent in the world. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is just as intimately real and powerful in every part of the world. That is not true of any other system of religion known to man. Some flourish more in this place, or in this place, or in this place. They're more adapted to that kind of people or that kind of people. But the gospel, my friend, is the gospel for the world. He's preached on to the Gentiles. And he's believed on in the world. What a wonderful statement that is. From across this old world, from every class, every color, every tribe, every nation, God is drawing out a people for himself. And Christ is believed on in the world and received up into glory. Now that's the mystery of godliness. It all starts with God coming down. You see, that's where salvation always starts. It can never start with you reaching up. How could you ever reach up to God? How can you ever satisfy the standard of infinite perfection? You can't do it. But it starts with God reaching down to you and me. He came to where we were. The mystery of godliness. But Paul goes back, if we may go back to 1:15, to speak of the message of grace. This mystery of godliness, this glorious gospel of the blessed God, is a message of grace, because he says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have talked to you about his coming into the world. Now here's the purpose. He says this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. This word is true. What is this true word? Christ Jesus came into the world. There's the incarnation again. But here's the purpose. He came into the world to save sinners. It's addressed to sinners, this message of grace. The message of God's grace does not tell you what you've got to become before God will accept you. The message of God's grace comes to you, addressing you as you are, where you are, in all your sin, in all your misery, in all your failure, in all your need. It says you have tried and you have failed. And the more you try, the more you fail. And the more religious you become, the more rotten you become on the inside. You know it, I know it. There's no way out of that impasse unless God comes to you and says, I have a message that is not conditioned upon you making yourself better. It's not conditioned upon you paying or you doing. It is a message addressed to you where you are, as you are. It's a message that Christ Jesus came into this world not to help sinners save themselves, not to bolster their efforts, but to save them. He has the power to do that. That's why he came into the world. The message of grace. Ah, my friend, if you're in this meeting this morning and you're still in your sin, you're without God, without Christ, and without hope, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ came to save sinners just like you. And Jesus Christ has saved sinners just like you. And Jesus Christ will save you also as you come to God through him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.